Good morning, good morning. No, what am I talking about? Good afternoon. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions, where I neither have coffee nor am I on time, but we do have the Lord's Word. So I'm all sorts of excuses lately. That's all they are, excuses. Everybody's got them, and they all stink, and that's what I got, excuses. Late night, had a meeting for the presbytery that went way longer than I anticipated, and so I didn't get moving this morning when I wanted to. But we still have time to be in God's Word. There is always time to redeem the time and be in God's Word. So we are at Genesis chapter 35. We'll pick it up at verse 23. Sorry, Genesis 35, verse 23, and we'll finish out the chapter. It's only two small sections, so why don't we have some prayer? Because we don't have coffee. We'll pray and we'll get into God's Word. God, we thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for your Word. We pray that it would be working in our hearts, not just to build up our intellect and our mind, Lord, but that you would transform our lives. We need you to be our teacher. We need you to bury these things in our souls and change our lives, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are at Genesis chapter 35, beginning at verse 23. Where are my glasses? There they are. Here we go. Now, the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maidservant, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's maidservant, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Then Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had dwelt. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. So Isaac breathed his last and died, and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do? So what's this about? Well, this is really the closing of one chapter and the beginning of the next. We don't have here a toledot. We're actually going to come to that with Esau in verse 1 of the next chapter. But we do have a genealogy without being called a genealogy. So these are the sons of Jacob, right? He has 12 of them. And it goes through and names Jacob's different sons. But why is this important, right? Why name them from mother and children to mother and children, mother and children, mother and children? Well, because this is reassuring us that God has blessed Jacob, that God has remembered his covenant promises, that God is making him into a great nation, that God is going to care for him and bless him, that God has remembered Abraham and Isaac, and now that blessing has been given down to Jacob. The covenant continues. God is still caring for him. And notice it says that these are the children who were born to him in Paddan Aram. And so these are those sons of Jacob, right? These are the total number of the children. And so God has remembered. But then something happens in verse 27. Jacob came to his father at Mamre, or Kirjath Arba, Hebron. Hebron will come to more important light later in the book of Joshua, when Caleb conquers that city, and then later on after that, when David is crowned king at Hebron. This is going to be an important town later in Old Testament history, but for now, this is where Isaac, the second patriarch, dies. Jacob has been traveling for decades, gone away from his family, and now he's there. And his father dies. And Jacob and Esau bury their dad. They say goodbye to him. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. He dies of a good old age. And so Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. May God had blessed Isaac, though he might have had his faults and problems. The Lord was still gracious to him and gave him long life. And Esau and Jacob are there, and they're not fighting against each other on his deathbed, but they're caring for him and his honoring his body and burying him. What's this about? It's the close of another chapter of the covenant. This is, Isaac is now gone. So he wasn't the promised seed. Who's it going to be? Maybe it's going to be Jacob. It's not going to be Jacob. He's not going to be the ultimate one to crush the head of the serpent. But he has bruised his heel. And so we're going to continue following on now in the story of Jacob and Esau and find out what happens to their lives. How is God going to work through them? God is still going to be faithful. He's still moving. He's still working. But there are many twists, many turns, many things that are going to happen. And as we go through these next 20 or so chapters of the book of Genesis, we're going to see that the Lord is going to continue to work in Jacob's life and in Esau's in different ways and in ways that are pretty unexpected. But the Lord's never going to forget his covenant. He is still at work, even though a patriarch would die. I remember talking to a guy one time that's just going to jump to calling here. And I remember the man telling me his grandpa was kind of this a giant of faith in his life. And then when his grandfather died, this man's name was Stephen, and he started questioning everything. And he said, well, if God would allow my grandpa to die, then obviously this isn't true. And I'm just, and so he tossed off all religion. And I remember watching this in his life. He and I were on a swim team together, and I was talking to him, and it's just kind of like, well, hold on, Stephen. God never promised that your grandfather would never taste death. Actually, quite the opposite. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is righteousness in Jesus Christ, right? Salvation is by Christ alone. So instead of throwing off your faith, I think what you're doing is now dishonoring your grandfather, dishonoring the promises that he taught you to live by. And instead, you're chasing the way of unrighteousness. It's not honoring his memory, but I think you're dishonoring his memory. And I remember he was pretty shaken up about this. He was not too happy about it, but I felt like I needed to tell him, right? The scriptures are what reminds us in the face of death that God hasn't failed. He has not forgot his promises. So we don't give up faith. We don't turn our backs on the Lord because he hasn't stopped working. The story's not done yet. The story's not done here in Jacob and Esau's life. It's definitely not done in Esau's life. It's going to continue. And it's not done until we find Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. But even then, it's not done, because when we get to the book of John and we're at chapter 22, guess what? Chapter 21, guess what? It's not done there, because he raises into heaven. And when we get into the book of Acts, it's not done there, because he's at the right hand of God the Father and he is judging the nations, and someday he's going to return. And so the story's not done until our Redeemer returns. And so even though you might be questioning things and wrestling with things as death and grief and disappointment happen in your life, God hasn't given up on his promise. Don't give up on him. He's still working, and he works in mysterious ways. And so grieve, yeah, but grieve with hope. Because he's not done. What he's promised, he's going to bring about, because he's faithful. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us in our weakness. Lord, we believe, help our disbelief. Father, when there is disappointment and death, we pray that that would not drag us away from you, but that you would keep us in the palm of your hands, and you would put your promises in our hearts and before our eyes, that we would remember you and walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the promise-keeping Lord, who cannot lie, comfort you with a hope of his promises and truth. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.